Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, during harvest on a farm, there is much work to be done as crops are gathered in. Harvest can also be a rewarding time when a farmer is able to enjoy the fruits of months of labor. Harvest is also a time to thank the Lord for providing the needs of life. Since harvest is both a time of work and celebration, of gathering in and giving thanks to the Lord, it is fitting that Jesus uses this picture as one of spreading the gospel. As the harvest is gathered on a farm, it is important that the farmer have the right equipment for the job. Likewise, when Jesus sent out 70 disciples as laborers into his harvest, he equipped them for this task, sending them forth with prayer, with purpose, and with power. As they were sent forth into the Lord's harvest, Jesus commanded the 70 to begin their task with prayer. The specific reason that Jesus directed the disciples to pray is that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In recent months, especially at restaurants, we have noticed that there are many job openings, but due to few workers, many businesses have been forced to shorten their hours. Likewise, Jesus speaks of the urgency of gathering the harvest. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. It has been said that the unfinished task of the church is to proclaim a finished salvation. Jesus has already purchased salvation for all people by his once and for all sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. God, our Savior, now wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. In the Great Commission, Jesus commands, "Go and make disciples of all nations." What a task this is, to spread the gospel throughout the world. And the workers are indeed few. It is the prayer then of all Christians that God our Father would send laborers into his harvest, young men willing to heed his call to pastoral ministry, called workers to serve on the mission field, Christian day school teachers, college and seminary professors. Since not all Christians have full-time ministry as their calling, also are needed those who will support missions through prayers and offerings. In whatever vocation we are called to, we have the privilege of sharing the gospel with those around us at work, school, and home. After instructing the disciples to pray for the harvest, Jesus did not immediately send them forth. Those sent out needed direction, encouragement, and guidance from their Lord before embarking on their work. So Jesus sent them forth with purpose. Jesus tells the disciples, "Go your way." Our sinful nature would like to misinterpret these words, "go your way," as permission to do whatever we want to. You can go your own way. We are tempted to think first of our own priorities and the projects we would like to accomplish in life. As Jesus' followers, Scripture here tells us that the most important purpose upon which to focus is the work of gathering the harvest, making disciples of all nations. The 70 were sent by Jesus as literal home missionaries, going not only from village to village, but from house to house ahead of him, bringing a message of peace. But this shalom was more than just a polite greeting. Rather, it was a declaration that there is now peace between God and mankind. By nature, our lives and the lives of all people are filled with complete unrest and lack of true peace. Our consciences remind us that despite the excuses we make and the rationalizing we try to do, we are pretty rotten people before our Almighty Creator. On top of this unrest caused by a guilt-ridden conscience, Scripture makes no bones about the fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How then can there be peace between us and God? The prophet Isaiah answers, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus' death brought us peace with God. His blood washes away the stain of our sins. That is why we too are part of the harvest. God sent his Son as the chief worker to gather in his harvest. He bore the heat and the burden of the day. He became a servant to us all. The peace established by Jesus' perfect life and his all-sufficient death in our place is brought to us personally by God's messengers of peace, who declare to us the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. As those who know and believe this message of peace, we pray for the souls of those around us. We use our mouths to share the clear message of sin and grace and invite people to come and hear the message of peace. We support missionaries, pastors, and teachers by our prayers and offerings. And as we live our lives by faith and service to others, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Thirdly, Jesus sends forth his disciples into the Lord's harvest with power. Jesus' words make it clear that this is not our own power. He says, "Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Jesus is very straightforward about the danger involved in laboring in the Lord's harvest. If you are going as a lamb in the midst of wolves, wouldn't you think about some way to protect yourself? After all, wolves tend to eat lambs. How do you prepare yourself? We may think of arming ourselves with some sort of weapon, but that's not how Jesus is calling us to go forth. He says, "Go. There are wolves out there, but don't carry anything." This requires faith, faith that relies on Jesus to protect you, even in dangerous situations, faith that prays, "Deliver us from evil." God didn't send his Son into the world to save saints, but to save sinners. And sinners in need of saving, for whom Jesus died, look to most people just like wolves. As Jesus' followers are sent to the wolves, God knows that among those wolves are some who will believe and be saved. As we share the gospel with others, we can expect to be criticized and mocked by the world. It's hard to talk about religion with others. We've been conditioned by our culture to think that one's religion is something personal and private. But don't we talk about a lot of other things with people today on social media, things that are rather personal and touchy subjects? How much more then shouldn't you and I want to talk with our friends and acquaintances about the most important matter of all, the relationship of a sinful soul with the Lord Jesus Christ? But when we go out and do this, let's remember that we don't do this on our own power, but in His strength alone. This power and authority was given by Jesus to the 70 as He sent them. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. As Jesus sends forth his church into his harvest, we speak not our own words, but Christ's word of forgiveness. And his words are spirit and they are life. To those who live in sin, darkness, and the shadow of death, they are words of comfort and peace, words of hope and grace, words of life and light. In God's holy word and sacraments, there is life for all who live in death. It is the life of Jesus Christ. According to Jesus' command, then, let us pray that the Lord of the harvest continues to send laborers into the harvest, and that he will give the Holy Spirit richly to those who are called to serve his word. Amen. Please rise and we will join in praying the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.